glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days, the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who delivered the Hebrews from Egypt, the God who called David from the sheepfold to make him king of Israel, and to promise him that one of his sons would build a house for God, to promise him that one of his sons would sit on an eternal throne. After David came King Solomon, and he built that house for God, that beautiful temple, but then he drifted from God. And then his son Rehoboam acted foolishly, and the 10 northern tribes were torn from him as a separate kingdom, and he then only had the kingdom of Judah of which to be king. Years and years, king after king, some good, some bad, some who followed God, some who did not, and here I am, 400 years after David, Daniel, carried away to Babylon with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We committed ourselves to remain pure and faithful to our God, and he blessed us in the midst of Babylon and even used us as ambassadors to the king. Early in my years in Babylon, the king had a dream, and it disturbed him to not know what the dream meant, and so he called all the wise men of Babylon and told them, "You must tell me the dream and its interpretation." And when they were unable to do so, he was furious, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon, all of us, would be killed. Well, long story short, my friends and I prayed, and then I was taken to the king, and he asked me, "Can you tell me the dream and its interpretation?" And I said, no wise man, no enchanter, no magician, no astrologer can reveal to you what you are asking. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to you what will be in the latter days." And so with God's help, I was able to tell the king his dream and its interpretation. The king had seen in his dream a tall statue like a man with a head of gold, a chest of silver, a stomach of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of iron and clay. And as he watched that statue, a stone, uncut by human hands, rolled down the mountain, rolled into the statue, and destroyed it. Poof. As for the interpretation, those were a succession of kingdoms, with King Nebuchadnezzar as that head of gold, followed by the Medes and Persians and so forth. But during the time of that iron and clay, those feet, during the time of that kingdom, the God of heaven will establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will break to pieces all of these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. For interpreting the dream, the king honored me greatly and gave me a great position in the kingdom, but it seems as though his interest was in that part of the interpretation that said he was the head of gold. For he was a man of great pride, and this pronouncement did not help that at all. Some time later, he had a second dream. And again, he called all the wise men, the astrologers and magicians, and asked them to interpret for him. And they were not able. And so as I came to him, he was in quite a state. And when he told me the dream, my first response to him, my first reaction was, "Oh, king, that this would be true of your enemies, for it was a pronouncement of judgment." In this dream, instead of being the head of gold of a statue and a succession of kingdoms, King Nebuchadnezzar was represented as a great tree, a tree that was so large its top touched the sky, and all the animals found shelter under the tree, and all the birds of the air, and all flesh was fed by this tree. And yet the command was given for the tree to be cut down, not to be fully destroyed, but banded so that later it could be restored. And the king was going to live as an animal for his pride. So I tried to warn the king, and I tried to get him to humble himself and perhaps avoid this judgment. And he was able to control his pride for about a year. And then he began to say, "Look at this kingdom that I have built." And immediately, the pronouncement came true. He lost control of his pride. He lost his kingdom. He lost his mind. And for 7 years, he lived as an animal until he professed that the God of heaven has a dominion that lasts forever, and no one can stay his hand. So the kingdom was restored to Nebuchadnezzar, and he praised the God of heaven, the King of heaven. But I want you to know that God does not just reveal mysteries only to kings. I want to tell you about a dream, a vision that I received in the first year of King Belshazzar, one of Nebuchadnezzar's successors. In my dream, I saw four beasts come up out of the sea. The first was like a lion with eagle's wings, and as I watched, the wings were plucked off, and he was made to stand on his hind feet like a man, and he's given the mind of a man. Then the second beast was like a bear on its side with three ribs in its mouth. And the third was like a leopard, had four wings like bird's wings. And he was given dominion. He had four heads. And the fourth beast, unlike all the others, different from the others, exceedingly strong, he had 10 horns. And as I watched, three of those horns were plucked out and another horn replaced it, a smaller horn, but it had eyes like a man. And it spoke boastful things. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels of it were burning fire, and from him issued a stream of fire that came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood by him. And the court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. And then I looked for the sound of the great words of the horn, that the horn was speaking, boastful words. And as I watched, that beast was killed, his body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the other beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And then, in the visions of the night, coming on the clouds of heaven, there was one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages would serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom would never be destroyed. I was anxious and alarmed. What could these things mean? I went to someone who was standing nearby, and I asked him, what does this mean? And he said, these four great beasts are four kings that will arise out of earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess the kingdom forever. Forever and ever. I was greatly alarmed, and I know my face was pale, and I thought, what could these things mean? When would these things happen? And who was this one like a son of man who was given dominion and glory and a kingdom?
Revelation chapter 5. This could be up on the screen, and you can read along with me. Say this with me. Then I saw on the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with 7 seals. Also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even look in it. So I wept, and I wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. And he had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent into all the earth. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Oh my. Then they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. And I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, and also the living creatures and the elders, and their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Father God, you have sent your precious Lamb. Thank you for this season of remembrance. Thank you that we, your people, could celebrate you in so many various different ways, and the names that you have and the actions you've made. The Lord God, you among all are worthy. Glory, glory, glory to your name. All honor and power and glory be yours. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ, amen. Have a seat. I'm not here to preach, because what has been spoken just now preaches unto itself, is it not? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I really just want to draw our attention to that one singular word that is interwoven throughout, not only this chapter, but ultimately it is the word of Revelation. We could say all kinds of things, and you've heard me talk about this before perhaps. You could say all kinds of things about the book of Revelation, but in the end, it is about one who is worthy. There is only one who is worthy. That's an interesting description that we have of him in chapter 5 of Revelation. This worthy one. Because as John the apostle, there receiving this vision of Revelation, he cries out and says, "No one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look into it," in verse 4. But the elder says to him, "Stop crying, because there's one who is worthy." And look what he says. "The Lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David." He has been victorious. Why is he worthy? Number one, he has been victorious over sin, over death, over hell, over your sin, over my sin, over the wages of sin that we have mounted up against ourselves. He is victorious over it, and he has overcome. He is worthy because he, the Lamb of God, has taken away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist once foresaw. He is worthy. It says, "I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing." This is now verse 6. "Standing between the throne and the four living creatures." Interesting. Because oftentimes we see the pictures and we see all the those who attempt to make sense of Revelation, and they fail at this. Because we don't usually see in this particular rendering, we don't look at it and see a slaughtered lamb. What does a slaughtered lamb look like? Well, perhaps you could tell I butchered my finger over the week last week. A little tiny chunk of my being came off, and it bled like unbelievable, right? Can you imagine what a slaughtered lamb looked like? They give a pretty good description in the Old Testament. A lamb on the throne, slaughtered, blood. I mean, if you ever wanted to just read about blood, you could just go back to the Old Testament temple, right? The Old Testament tabernacle. Blood everywhere, running all over the place. It was not a a nice sight in that regard, but it was significant. We don't just say these things to creep people out, clearly. This is because the blood that we celebrate at the Lord's table in this church, the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, that is, he who was upon the cross, slaughtered, that blood is precious. We sing about it. We triumph in it. This is the way that he is worthy. This is the way that he is triumphant. Worthy is the Lamb, is slaughtered. And you go on and you just see that he is not only slaughtered, but he is resurrected. And he is the one who is worthy to undo the scroll and to bring forth that which must come forth. He alone is able. He is worthy. Worthy from the top to the bottom. Worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, because you are slaughtered and you redeemed people. Why is he worthy? Because he redeemed us. By his blood, he redeemed us. You redeemed the people for God by your blood, and every tribe and language and people and nation are redeemed. He is worthy. The Lamb that was slain. Glory, glory, glory to him. And certainly in the final days, or beyond the days, when we all stand in heaven and see this sight, those who have received Jesus Christ into their lives and have allowed him to transform their lives, we will stand together and we will watch this unfold before us. We will be among the tens of thousands that will be there, and we will see the mighty Lamb of God, who once was slain, but is now resurrected and anew and sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is worthy. Next week, we enter into a new year. But God, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, has worked immensely in our lives in this past year. We took a time yesterday, Christmas morning, to gather down the hall. And those of us who were here, we just gathered. I mean, we filled the entire time up with just testimony of what God has done. What a glorious thing that our God has done among us. But what a glorious thing is yet to come. Yes, this next year, I have hope that it will be better. But in eternity, that's another story altogether, right? A hope that is insurmountable, unexplainable. And as you go through, if you do read the book of Revelation, you go through, it's a tough one to get through, but as you read through it, you have to understand, John is taking things that he is seeing, and he is just kind of like gushing out, like however he can figure out how to express this to you and to me in a way that we can understand. So it kind of comes out a little bit convoluted, but if you can understand that the sight that he is seeing is almost indescribable. And so he throws to us these little tidbits of information and vision as best as he, as a man, knows how to do it. And there's going to be a day when we're going to stand in that place and we're going to watch this unfold. And the mighty Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world, we will worship him from then and forevermore as his people, as his new tribe. What a glorious day that we sing of, that we have the opportunity to glory in, entering into a new year. Perhaps to this day you enter into a new life in Christ. Allow him to wash over you. And so today, you know, we planned this since before we start Advent, obviously. But, when we talk about Advent, it's really what we've discussed here in the last couple days is Christmas. This is the first Advent. That is the first coming of Jesus Christ. He comes as a little baby. But when we take the Lord's Supper, he says, celebrate in that I have come and that I have died and given my life and my blood and in my very body for you. But also remember to do this until I come again. That's the second advent. When we take the Lord's Supper together, it is a time for us to remember that he has been here, but to remember that he is coming. And both of those should change our minds, our attitudes, our attentions, our priorities. Those both should change us. The fact that he came and walked and lived perfectly and gave his life, yes. Raised up from the dead, yes. Ascended into heaven, yes. But that he's coming again, that should completely shift the way that we walk. When we are called to walk worthy, this is the example of worthiness that is set before us. Father God, thank you. For worthy is your name. You are great among all. Among the nations, yes. Among us, yes. You are great and worthy to be praised. All glory, honor, be yours. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Continuing in Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And they invite you to take just a few more minutes in silence, in quiet, no matter how awkward that might feel to you, and consider that image, that future, that certainty. And where is your heart now in relation to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb?